Eye on the World, the Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. Business on all the major continents. Right now, Chris is traveling in the European continent, our allies, and I go to the CHIPS Act. This is an important piece of legislation that the Biden administration has shepherded through Congress, and it's looking to compete with and outcompete with our adversaries, especially when it comes to high-end chips, but also because of the threat to Taiwan. The AP reporting in these last days, the Biden administration pledged to provide up to $6.6 billion so that a Taiwanese semiconductor giant can expand its facilities already building in Arizona and better ensure that the most advanced microchips are produced domestically. Commerce Secretary Raimondo said the funding for TSMC, you'll hear that a lot, Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, means the company can expand on its existing plans for two facilities called fabs in Phoenix. Chris, a very good evening to you. You've been pointing to this event for some time. TSMC, Intel is also in the mix. There are other companies that are being invited to participate in the CHIPS Act. But TSMC is of major concern because of its vulnerability in Taiwan. Recently, an earthquake that struck the area. You were very careful to point out that that earthquake meant that a whole batch being cooked had to be set aside, and that they had to spend the engineers, the highly valued engineers at TSMC outside of Taipei, had to spend some time, perhaps weeks, recalibrating because they can't be sure the earthquake didn't damage their equipment. So TSMC is first rate. We want to give it other footprints so that one plant can't change the world. Your measure of this $6.6 billion, that seems generous, but at the same time, is TSMC looking to move its highest end to the U.S., or is this the business of the, what are called legacy chips? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. This is a great first step in some of that most advanced, or what would be known as 2-nanometer process work being done in the United States. That being said, I would think of CHIPS Act as a down payment rather than the purchase of the whole process. In that chip making in modern advanced node is incredibly capital intensive. TSMC from the Taiwanese government has received roughly $200 billion in subsidies over the last 10 to 15 years. So it's a good start. It's headed in the right direction. It's proper industrial policy. But I would expect to see the need for a CHIPS Act 2 or CHIPS Act 3 to continue to have government and private industry partnership to really move the needle forward and keep that competitive inertia going.
Speed, when I talk about Taiwan or to Taiwan, there's emphasis on speed. Here's what I have, that the Navy has been anxious for some time about the vulnerability of not only Taiwan, but the South China Sea, or the whole first island chain. The Navy's used various dates, 2025, 2026, and afterwards. Various dates. Therefore, building fabs and transferring the technology to maintain those fabs and the product of those fabs requires speed. Are we looking at years to build the plants in the U.S. or months? Can all of this be realized before 26?
It's years. It will not be realized before 2026. If you're breaking ground on a fab today in early 2024, that facility probably comes online in 2027, 2028 in a material way. So it is a long tail process to be able to build and to bring in the right tooling for those environments, where also many of the tool manufacturers, such as ASML, who you've read about, have great backlogs on orders. So 3 to 4 years, 3 to 5 years is a reasonable window.
And TSMC, then, is it ready to move its highest end to the U.S. and share the revenue stream that that would mean?
So, John, it's a great question. There'd been some discussion in the industry previously as to whether TSMC was going to do all of the process in Phoenix or just part of the process in Phoenix. Arguably, if your U.S. interests, you want all of that process in the U.S. However, the Taiwanese maintain the best leverage if they just keep part of that process here and part of the process in Taiwan. That's up to government and to TSMC to decide.
Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury, recently in China, reported daily about her conversations with her opposite numbers in the Chinese Communist Party and the Chinese government, advising China that the U.S. and its allies are watching because of the conduct, I believe it's called manufacturing capacity, excess manufacturing capacity, which is a euphemism for dumping, that happened once upon a time, making solar panels so cheap in Europe that they can be used for garden fencing. Now, Janet Yellen's talking about the high-end results of chip making. Everything, microchips are in everything. So this would also involve chips, but it involves steel, it involves cars, it involves electronics, it involves ordinary products. To your understanding, because you participate in all of these negotiations, was Janet Yellen successful in convincing China not to dump?
John, I think the Chinese will agree to anything. That being said, will they follow that agreement? No. They will continue to dump. They will continue to do anything they can to bring in more hard capital to China. That is their greatest opponent at the moment, the lack of capital and lack of capital investment in China. So they may say we will do X or Y or Z, but they will not hold up to those promises.
Therefore, the mission was not successful, at least the first round. The alternative, not a very good one, is tariffs. How would that affect a global business, putting tariffs on what's coming out of China?
So, John, that tariff effectively just becomes a tax on U.S. consumers because businesses are going to just pass that along to the best of their ability. You do see some success with tariffs in companies like Apple or other opening up more diverse manufacturing supply chains in India, in Vietnam, in Indonesia. So there's certainly a benefit in that carrot and stick, but directionally, tariffs I don't think will get you what you want. You have to beat the Chinese in the open market with the best product and the best price and the best capability. Tariffs are simply a shield.
To Europe, where you've been traveling, the IMF projection for 2024 is not attractive. Germany at 0.2 growth. UK at 0.5, Japan at 0.9. The US, on the other hand, is at 2.7, a giant among Lilliputians. Why is Germany so low? They've got first-rate manufacturing. Their products are desirable. The dollar is strong. The euro is not especially strong. What's happened to Germany? Olaf Scholz is in Beijing right now. What is he pleading?
So, John, Mr. Scholz is pleading with Mr. Xi for the Chinese to buy more German manufacturing tools for Chinese industry. But the German problem can be summed up in a single word, which is energy. Without access to Russian energy, their economy is suffering greatly. Germany has a heavy industrial economy, and without cheap sources of energy, they are absolutely on their back foot, and you're seeing compression in that economy.
We heard a deal that first year of the war of building ability to bring in liquefied natural gas and other alternative workarounds for cheap Russian energy. What you're saying is that that hasn't happened yet, or it's not adequate?
It has not happened to a sufficient enough point for it to cover the prior losses. So until the war is resolved, until Russian energy is fully back online, Germany will continue to be the sick man of Europe.
However, my understanding is that Germany's economy is European Union's economy. The other 27 nations are adversely affected. None of them are growing vigorously. So until Germany heals, we cannot expect healing in the UK, in Italy, in France. Is that correct?
It will certainly be more difficult. They are certainly interconnected economies and work within that structure. That being said, UK has its own market positions and benefits that are little autonomous of the Germans, but Germany will certainly keep the continent off balance as long as their economy is weak.
The American economy. We understand right now the seven cuts of December have become maybe one cut by next December. Commercial real estate, it's been talked about as a slow burn. Did the fire just get a little hotter, Chris, across America?
It not necessarily got hotter, but it certainly signaled that the fire trucks are further and further away.
So what we have here is the slow burn for commercial real estate buildings as their leases come up. That will be a continuing story across America, all major cities, but especially the major ones. that I care about, the ones on the coast, New York City. Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com. He's traveling in Europe. Scala.com is a global technology firm with business on all the major settled continents. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.